This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. If you are buying or selling a home in Memphis, that's the team you got to get with. Because the truth is, you need a friend. You need some guidance and somebody that knows exactly what they're doing. And they know how to make the money for you. They know how to get you connected with the right people, maximize your profit. So, best thing you can do is if you're listening at home, reach out. SoldToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
625-5200 is the number, whether it's now or whether it's later. Whenever you're ready, give Jennifer Carstensen that call, and she is going to clear everything up for you. Everything will melt away. What you don't know, you will know. All your fears will go away. And if it's the right time for you to buy, she's going to find the proper house for you. She can also do it for you on the selling side as well, get you most money for that home. Back in 2018, she got me more than I ever thought she could. She can do that now. She can do it in any market. 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right. We got some news in the NBA Finals. Game 6, not until tomorrow, obviously. But we got the news today from Rick Carlisle that they are not expecting, or at least I should say they're preparing to play without Tyrese Halliburton in Game 6. That's not till tomorrow at 7:30, but we expected it. He clearly aggravated it, and we talked about it. You go from tightness to a strain. That's what I think it was maybe Richard Jefferson he was talking about on the broadcast in Game 5, that you go from tightness to a strain, and then, you know, you're going to be compromised. And obviously we saw he battled it out. He gutted it out in Game 5 and did his absolute best to, you know, make an impact, but he just couldn't. Wasn't aggressive, couldn't and wouldn't attempt any shots. And so now, you know, the Indiana Pacers got to try to figure it out without Tyrese Halliburton, most likely, because even if he is, you know, wanting to play, he says if he can walk, he'll play. I think, you know, if you're the Pacers, you almost would rather just go full bore with T.J. McConnell because he came in that third quarter and was absolutely fantastic, you know, really changed the game and, you know, maybe got pulled a little too early there in that fourth quarter. But the truth is, you know, he's not Halliburton in terms of the way he leads. He's not the bellwether that Tyrese Halliburton is. It was like, what, 33-4 when he scores 20 or more. So you don't have that leadership out there in Tyrese Halliburton, but I would rather go with a guy who I know to be completely healthy than, you know, a guy who was totally, you know, gutting it out and not nearly the same player, so even if the other, you know, player is limited in terms of his offensive arsenal. So we got that going. You know, obviously, you know, this has been a great run for Oklahoma City. They were the second highest net rated team in the NBA all year long. We talked about them. They have had moments where it looked, you know, very dicey for them. They were down against the Denver Nuggets. They were down against these Indiana Pacers, but they've grown up very fast. And a lot of that is due to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander having an MVP type campaign. So you got this tomorrow night. Oklahoma City is out to a 6.5 point favorite. You know, I'll say this. I think there is definitely a world where Indiana rides Pascal Siakam, you know, rides their shooting with Nesmith, Nimhardt, et cetera, you know, there's a world where Nembhard doesn't turn the ball over in critical moments like he did in Game 5. I mean, that was a two-point game even after, you know, the Thunder led by 18. So I think that's definitely something that you have to think about. This is a gutty team. It's a resilient team. All of a sudden, Rick Carlisle is not going to forget, you know, about how to coach a basketball game. You know, we've praised him. We've talked about his adjustments. And, you know, they're there. So I expect that completely, you know, in this game. I don't know what they do, but we've seen it all the time. You know, teams do not have star players. And he's not even their leading scorer. He's not even their best player. So, you know, you ride Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, you hope for a better game from. TJ McConnell, I would assume, would get the start if Halliburton is out. So that is what we'll be waiting for. Game 6 tips off 7:30 on ABC and ESPN. We'll have pregame right here at 7 o'clock on 90.9 FM ESPN. Thunder going to attempt to close it out on the road. We'll see if they can do it. But that game is tomorrow at 7:30.
Really interesting, that story, I thought, from Frank Bonner from yesterday's Tigers on Tour event at the Owner's Box Sports Grill. We discussed a little bit with Jeff. Want to go back to it because Ed Scott, and he was actually asked by Jeff Brightwell about the social media blow-up this week regarding conference realignment after Thamel's report. So I want to make sure we clarified that, who that question came from. From Jeff Brightwell, who was out there hosting that thing, does a great job out there on the Tigers on Tour event. And it was Ed Scott responding in the way that, you know, the yet part seeming very important. But the quote, again, I can tell you this, you can read everything you want on social media, but if you don't hear it from my mouth, then it's not true yet. Again, maybe even there was no pause. And I just realized that I paused that in reading it. And again, maybe it meant nothing. But what you typically see from athletic directors, and Jeff talked about how transparent Ed Scott's been, so much so it's been sort of, it's stood out, because typically you don't hear the math. You don't have the curtain as pulled back as we've had it from Ed Scott, from typical athletic directors. And we saw that really with Tom Bowen. I mean, there wasn't much pulled back at all there. And then, you know, we saw with RC some things to be transparent about, maybe not the whole thing. And I'm sure Ed Scott, there will be some things where maybe he's not as upfront as talkative about. But so far, whether it's been the flirtations, whatever you want to call that, the back and forth with the Pac-12, at some point, I imagine he's going to have to be pretty open and honest here and transparent on what the Tigers are going to do with revenue sharing. I would expect that to come up on Friday when he's got the media availability over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I think that's going to be at 3 o'clock. They're open to questions. They're going to be talking about the renovations going on at Simmons Bank, but whether it's revenue sharing, whether it's more of this, the basketball team, you know, and Olympic sports potentially going to the Big East and the football team going to the Pac-12, the fact that he didn't say, you know, until you hear it from me, it's not true. Like, I feel most athletic directors, the fact that he added that yet, it what it does, to be very honest with you, is it leaves it up to the speculation. It leaves us up to kind of hoping, oh, man, maybe there really is something to this. When he could have, not necessarily shot it down, but just even in saying it's not true, well, he's right because it's not true yet in this point. When he says it's not true. By adding the yet and leaving open the speculation open, I am not saying this is getting done, but what I do feel like, and I think Jeff was along those same lines, man, is they are continuing to explore that, and maybe it's a, you know, it continues to be a realistic possibility. That is my hope. My hope, too, is that on Friday, maybe we'll know a little more, because remember, they did not take questions last night, Ed Scott. This came from the host. This came from Jeff Brightwell. He'll actually have to take some questions on it and some other things, I'd imagine, on Friday. Now, they could say we're not taking questions on revenue sharing, on potential conference realignment come Friday, but it is scheduled to be open to questions. And so there was that. There was Ryan Silverfield and the Memphis coaches being asked about the Stephen A. Smith report, and Ryan Silverfield talking about raising two daughters here now and how, you know, sure, crime is rampant everywhere. You know, crime is a problem all over the country, and we acknowledge it's a problem in Memphis. But keep in mind, these coaches are having to recruit against this. You know, long before Stephen A., I'm sure, you know, you've got parents that have a certain perception of Memphis, especially outside the state, whether it's Ryan Silverfield or Penny Hardaway or Brooks Monaghan, who, again, what's he's recruiting Canada, is he not? That who will have to, I'm sure, and have had to, it sounds like Brooks has, have had to answer to this sort of, well, what's up with Memphis and the crime? If I send my, you know, my daughter or my son to you, you know, is he going to be safe? And so this is something, whether it's a, you know, that perception, right, wrong, exaggerated, whatever else, this is something they've probably been recruiting, I don't want to say against, but had it thrown at them and had to answer these for years. And I would say, you know, for Penny Hardaway particularly, because this is his town, you know, his thoughts on the matter and whether it's truly affecting NBA players, I'd be interested to hear. But we didn't get, from what I saw, we got Silverfield and we got Brooks. And I didn't see Penny's comments. But a headliner to me is what Ed Scott didn't put down, which was speculation, at least right now, about conference realignment. Now, maybe last night was not the place to shoot it down. You're promoting your coaches and everything else. But in not, you know, saying, hey, it's not true, it leaves open the speculation, and perhaps there'll be more smoke. Perhaps there'll be more answers in a couple of days on Friday when they had that presser.
LeBron bemoans ring culture, which is sort of interesting, but I think it's a part of a larger discussion, and it's why earlier this week when you saw the Desmond Bain trade, that there was great discourse about, oh, well, this must mean the Grizzlies are blowing it up. I mean, I don't even know what they're discussing on First Take today. It certainly is not ring culture. It has nothing to do with who's about to be crowned the champion in these NBA finals, but he was talking about ring culture in the NBA, and he said that a ring is a team accomplishment, and he pushed back on the idea that a player's individual greatness is measured by how many championships he wins. He said, trying to nitpick an individual because he was not able to win a team game or a team match, whatever the case may be, I don't know where it started, but it's a long conversation, especially when it comes to me individually. It's so weird. It's never enough. Obviously, he's got his own agenda because he probably internally feels like he should have more championships, especially that Mavs series. I'm assuming that is the one that keeps him up at night. But I will say, I don't know if, you know, LeBron is the right messenger here. The message is probably fine, probably the wrong messenger. But I do think there is a lack of nuance when it comes to NBA discussion, because there was a whether it was Brian Windhorst, whether it was Kevin O'Connor, who used to be at the Ringer, you know, oh my gosh, they're blowing it up. They're about to blow it up here in Memphis just because they trade Desmond Bane. You got to trade Ja, you got to trade Jaren. It's like, it's got to be a ring or it's got to be rebuild. And the reality is that for so many of these markets, Memphis, Charlotte, et cetera, like it can't just be about winning a championship. Like, it's got to be about the goal of putting out a contender, at least a winner, as much as you possibly can. Get people in the building. You know, we've talked about the struggles with the Grizzlies. Get people in the building and then go from there. You know, ideally, maybe you catch some breaks. Maybe you have a 2013 type of run. But it can't just be about, oh, we're going to win a title or else this whole thing is bust over. We're going to tear it down. Like, there's a lot of middle ground and a lot of in between. And look, a guy like LeBron James, like I said, probably not the right messenger because he is one of the greatest of all time. But he brought up Allen Iverson and he brought up Charles Barkley and he brought up Steve Nash. And he said, you sit here and tell me that those guys weren't unbelievable. And sure, like, I think we revere them pretty well. I think we regard them, you know, pretty highly. But the reality is that when we have these discussions about the greatest ever, those names don't come up. I mean, I think Allen Iverson culturally, you know, was a big impact on the game. Chuck is almost more known as a broadcaster than he was a basketball player. He was a damn good basketball player. But when you don't have the championships, you know, to accompany, there's just no question about it. Like, even if you're a bit player, but you got a ring, like if you played a six-man role, it's almost like the opinion of that player, like KCP, he's a two-time champ. If he didn't have rings, like, we would be talking about this guy as though he is just a waste of a roster spot. But because he is bringing that, we are saying, man, he's the adult in the room. He's going to bring some veteran leadership. He's going to do all these things. And, you know, again, that's the benefit of the doubt that rings allow you to have. And I do think it's a real thing in the NBA. Championships are important. It's a five-man, two-way game. I don't think it's crazy that people hold LeBron James to that standard. But again, he clearly does feel like, you know, I should have won more than I have. And it also feels like a guy that knows he's probably not going to win another one with the current state of affairs, you know, with the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, they had a good team this year. Were they a three seed? And they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough and got put out in five games there, you know, in the first round by the Timberwolves. But he says a ring is a team accomplishment. And if you happen to have a moment when you're able to share that with your team, that should be discussed. This team was the greatest team. That team, you can have those conversations. I also feel like, you know, you don't get to get out of the criticism, you know, because, again, you're a four-time NBA MVP. And I think because you play both offense and defense in the NBA as opposed to the NFL, it is very different. NFL has definitely spoken about and discussed more as a team concept because you have two totally different units. In the NBA, you play both. LeBron's had amazing moments on offense. He's had amazing moments on defense, that chase down block. But the reality is you can complain about it all you want. It's not going to change the way that people discuss and fans discuss, you know, your legacy. So maybe he gets another one before it's all said and done, but he's not happy about the way that NBA media coverage is going, and that's probably not going to change.
I can't imagine the emotions that must have been in this room. When I saw the story on ESPN, I stopped to go into it because we haven't talked about Henry Ruggs in a long time. But when I saw that he spoke to the family of the crash victim that he killed, I thought to myself, wow, that's the kind of stuff you see in movies and stuff. I'll read from the ESPN story first. Former Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs III, on special release from prison Tuesday night, and he was released specially for this, spoke at a Hope for Prisoners event in Las Vegas and apologized to the family of the woman that he killed in that car crash. It's been nearly 4 years ago. Remember when it happened, us talking to me in the immediate and afterwards, you know, the things we had to say about Ruggs at that point, a guy who had a whole career in front of him. I mean, you've killed a woman. You've taken a life. I think while in this case, remember the DUI was something they backed off of in terms of getting but a misdemeanor vehicle manslaughter. No, felony DUI caused the death. Pleaded guilty in 2023. So this is the proper wording for the charge. He's just sentenced to a 3 to 10 year prison sentence. I remember us talking about that and whether it was enough. But I was thinking about how, forget it being hard for Henry Ruggs to apologize to the family, I was thinking how hard it would be for me to listen to his apology as the mother or father of the victim that he killed. Because I'm thinking about the flesh, of course, the person in all of us, that if you took, I'm looking down at a text from my son right now, if you took him away from me, the things I would want to do to the person that did it. Now, obviously, you got to go above and beyond all that. We saw it with Tyree Nichols' mom and his old family. You've got to go above the sort of personal revenge you'd like to see, right? And let the law sort of handle its business there. But I just want to commend the family in the sense for even being there, because one thing I know in life is that forgiveness is essential for you. Even in situations where a family member has been taken away from you, I would say it's essential in the end for your own peace. Otherwise, again, it could lead to a life of anger, a life of wanting revenge, a life where maybe you don't reach that full purpose that was intended for you because you're so stuck. We're humans. Of course, many of us could get stuck if we had a loved one taken away from us. So I'm just to keep it on the story again, the Tintor family in this case, I just want to give them big props, big shout out to them. Again, we talk about a lot in the church, forgiveness and how important it is for you as opposed to the person you're forgiving. But in this sense, going in there and listening to him, I don't know, and especially just being 4 years removed from losing my daughter, if I'd have been ready for that. But that is clearly a family that is, you know, on another level spiritually than I would be. I think, at least if I'm judging myself, 4 years removed from that. But one that I would aspire and hope to be able to get to. Again, whether they've accepted that apology, and forgiveness is different. You know, forgiveness can be different from total forgiveness. You can forgive, but maybe it's not all the way, you're because I've seen that too, or at least I've experienced it too, where maybe a part of you is ready to let that go, right, to forgive and move on, but you're still not all the way there. And so if this family is there, or if this is the part of the process to get there, I just want to commend them on that, because this is the hard stuff in life. The stuff that Stephen A. says about Memphis, the stuff that you and I do, talking about sports, it's not hard, and we shouldn't make it hard. This stuff right here is real life. And I want to get to a spot in my life where I'm able to forgive, right? Whether it's for small things or something as tragic as this, I want to be able to do that in the spirit. So I salute that family. And for Henry Ruggs, this is going to be a part of you now showing that you still got some value to your life, right? You took a life. You owe the board. You owe a lot in terms of what you owe that family, what you owe this world, what you owe that man upstairs. And so I do believe there can be value. He can be redeemed. He can find salvation, but it is going to require work. And I hope that this is a part of that work on Henry Ruggs III's part.
Yeah, I mean, I will say on him, Nick Saban raved about the guy when he was coming out of school. I mean, I remember there was a clip where he would say, like, this was a good kid. He would always, you know, he would do all the right things. And it truly, like this was not a guy with a long rap sheet, you know, who was being reckless one more time and had gun charges and drug charges and assault charges and all these different things. Like, Henry Ruggs made a grave, fatal, absolutely terrible mistake. And it was costly, like you said. It was unforgivable in some ways. Now, he can be redeemed, and it does seem like he is trying desperately to be that. I mean, he's shown real remorse for it as much as he can. I don't know if, you know, that's an attempt to get back into the NFL. Like, the cynical side of me would say yes, but it's very possible that this is an otherwise good young man who made a grave, terrible, reprehensible mistake one night that costs, you know, a person and a dog their lives, you know, which makes this extremely complicated, you know, because are you defined as a person by the worst thing that you've ever done? You know, and I think that's what we have to collectively decide when we judge people. Are you the worst thing you've ever done? Now, for some people, that answer is yes. For some people, they are the worst things they've ever done. But sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're better than that. Sometimes you grow. Sometimes you develop, and you're a different person than whatever that thing may have been. I'd like to believe that Henry Ruggs can be that, can be a positive influence, whether that's on the football field or just somebody that's willing to take on the role of speaking at things like this, and be in the face of, hey, you know, if you don't take care of business, get a driver, get somebody that will look out for you, get somebody. I mean, we've seen that before quite a bit. So I'm happy to see that, you know, he's taking responsibility. It's not just, I'm doing this because I have to. You know, he's apologizing to the family. He's speaking out at these things. It's part of it. It's part of the, you know, recourse, no question about it. But it does at least seem like he's trying to take the steps, you know, to do that, which, you know, is certainly the least he could do, but he's doing it. And, you know, it's definitely a step in that process. Kevin Durant. Are the Grizzlies back in it for Kevin Durant? I don't know. Evan Sidry is mostly an aggregator, so I'm saying this with a caveat, but he did tweet 50 minutes ago with no attribution that the Grizzlies recently entered the Kevin Durant sweepstakes per a source familiar with the situation. After trading Desmond Bane, Memphis is revisiting their interest on Durant after a failed pursuit in February. Any team that trades for Durant owns his bird rights. So, what do we know about Kevin Durant? He's already said he doesn't want to play in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, which is a better situation than Memphis. That we know. Just because they've been in the Western Conference Finals two years in a row. They've got Anthony Edwards. You can count on him to play. You know, John Morant, obviously not. So that is one thing that I'm keeping in mind. I'm passing this along, not because I think it's going to happen, but because it does seem like they are spinning the block again on KD to see, hey, if we did something here with KCP, with these salaries, with Cole Anthony, you know, the Suns are trying to tear it down. You know, Parker Fleming says the Grizz could get there in salaries with KCP, Cole Anthony, and a young guy, but it would take until mid-August to make that trade official because of the aggregation with KCP and Cole Anthony. And obviously any other deal would require John Jaren, and that is not happening. So it does seem like the Grizzlies have been paying attention in terms of, all right, they didn't like the offers. Phoenix hasn't liked the offers from Houston, from San Antonio, from Miami. And so they feel like they see an opening. I give them credit. I don't think they'll be able to do enough unless Phoenix is really, really tearing it down. Like, it feels like they would have to be trading Devin Booker as well to do something like a deal with the Grizzlies It feels like at this point, but it is notable that, and again, I don't know if you trust this guy because it's not like this is coming from Brian Windhorst or Shams. So again, I will very much preface it by saying that, but it is out there that the Grizzlies are re-entering the sweepstakes for Kevin Durant. And that's notable. They're taking a shot, it seems like. Whether they'll have enough to get the trade done is one thing, but they are certainly taking a shot, according to Evan Seidry there, contributor to Forbes. So he's not just an ex-reporter. He has that. I probably wouldn't mention it if he didn't have the Forbes line in the bio, but he does have that. It's not a parody. I've seen him around. So anyway, that's the news there. Kevin Durant, maybe talks happening, trying to get him. Feels very low probability, but at least that's on the table.
I don't know. Will this stuff with Stephen A. come back into play with this? Are we going to get Kevin Durant shooting us down here in the next day or two? If this reports, you know, if there's enough credibility with it, are we going to get him shooting us down like he did Minnesota?
I hope not. But I mean, Jimmy did it through the media. Not this, but even at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was like, I'm not going to Memphis. It's through somebody. Like, Jimmy Butler was not going to go to Memphis. So I definitely hope not.
I mean, he's that type. And
but he already did it to Minnesota. I mean, why wouldn't he do it to Memphis too? So, I mean, I would, if he doesn't want to be here, you know, I think that would be let known. I also worry a little bit that this is leverage, that like somebody close to KD is saying, hey, let's get it out there. Memphis is involved. Like, let's get the ante up with, mm-hmm. with the places that I actually want to go to, you know, Houston, San Antonio, and Miami. So I it does feel a little bit like that, like the Grizz are being used here, although it does seem genuine. They're trying to do something for him, but they've been trying to do something for him for years now. And the package hasn't been enough in the past. Do we really think this one's going to be enough? An expiring KCP and a young player? That feels very uncompelling.
Well, and a bunch of picks, right?
I would have to include.
It's going to include a ton of these picks that you have now.
I would give them 26. Like, take 26 off me. Like, I'm going all in anyway. If I'm going for Kevin Durant, he's got 1 year left on his deal, and then he's, you know, a free agent. I would go ahead and just go all in and give him 2026. Like, why not? You know, what are you waiting for? This is your moment. This is it. You go get Kevin Durant, you're saying we got 2 years with maybe two. One at minimum, two at most. So this is the time. And then you'd rebuild after that, you know, if you don't get it done in the next 2 years. Maybe it's not the right time to do that. Like, I think that's an interesting question. Like, would Jaren, Ja, and KD be enough? What is that going to get you? Does that get you to top four in the West? Does that get you to, you know, like, that's the question that you'd have to ask. I think it probably could get you to home court if I'm being optimistic, but it's hard to do that because, like, okay, how many games am I getting a job? Am I getting 50 games a job? Am I getting 45 a job? Am I getting 20 a job? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I'm that's probably a question that the Grizz are asking themselves every single day when it comes to moves like this. We've talked about why they haven't made a move, and maybe the hangup has always been like, A, they didn't have enough to offer, but B, it's like with all these different players, Can I expect Ja to be around to elevate? You know, we don't know. We don't know the answer to the game start. You know, and you lost him in two straight playoff series now. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, it's undeniably a problem. So,
or is it three? It's a Golden State. He finished that one, didn't he?
I think he finished Golden
State. He missed
State.
Part of it, but he finished it. So it is two.
He finished Golden State.
He finished Golden State's two.
He finished Lakers. He did not finish Lakers, and then he did not finish the, you know, the so two straight didn't make the playoffs the year before. So, I mean, the situation with the Grizzlies is like, you could just talk about the on court and it would be just as compelling. Like, forget the off court with the city. Like, the on court is just as rough a shape in some ways. I mean, I know they won 48 games, but what was it, 36-15 they were, you know, in January. And then you go 12 and whatever down the stretch there. So, I fire the coach. I mean, that's when you put it all on paper, 21-22, it looked unbelievable. And since that year, and since that, like, we were going in the offseason, you're riding high, you feel good, you got all these draft picks. And then since that summer, you've got two playoff wins, not series, two playoff wins, period. You're on your second coach since then, and now you're breaking up your core. So I mean, it's not like the on-court is that promising either. You're just hoping that with a tweak here or there, you know, you're going to be in a much better situation. But I can't guarantee that. I don't know that it will be. You know, it's possible that they're going to be worse. Like, are they going to use the 16th pick? We've talked about that. Like, what's that going to be? So, I mean, I'd love to. I've been talking about KD for 2 weeks now. I'd love to have KD here. I'm in. I'm like, let's put the, you know, pedal to the metal on this, and let's really get there, and let's see what this is about to be. And if it's not going to be anything with KD, then it'll never be anything. I'm kind of there, but obviously you got to get two to agree here. So the Kevin Durant and Grizzlies back in the news. Maybe this will be the time, but it's starting to feel like Memphis and the Big 12.
I thought an interesting exercise over at ESPN where they have put together the all quarter century team. It's that time of year where you're doing lists and things, but when you've got these kinds of names, this high level of names on these lists, it's fun to do for their quarterbacks: Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick makes the cut with the other two goats, and frankly, I guess you could put his career right now. Could you? You can already put it over Peyton's, no? Maybe not yards thrown for, but Super Bowls and everything else. I would. I'd put him second behind Tom Brady. These aren't ranked.
Yeah.
They have done them just 1, 2, 3 there, just three quarterbacks. For your running backs, remember this is the all-quarter century team, so they go back a little ways, and they go to Priest Holmes. Ravens and Chiefs from 2001 to 07, then Ravens, he was 1997 to 2000. 9,200 all-purpose yards, 85 all-purpose TDs, one-time Super Bowl champ, one-time Offensive Player of the Year, three-time All-Pro. I guess I'd forgotten he was Offensive Player of the Year. He's in there with Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. The other two certainly make sense. Kyle Juszczyk, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is the San Francisco fullback. Only had one of them. I mean, many offenses running without a fullback. Wide receivers, this is fun. Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, Megatron.
Yep.
Julio Jones, Terrell Owens, Marvin Harrison, and the current era player that makes it is Justin Jefferson. No Ja'Marr Chase? Should he be on here?
I mean, I don't
if
know.
You're going to have Jefferson, should Ja'Marr Chase be on here?
Like, yeah, I feel like he should.
Well,
should Julio be on there?
Maybe not.
I mean, like, Julio's end of career was brutal. Like, those last 3 years with the tight, I mean, I want to say 2020, 2021, 2022, and then 23.
Here's your reason. If we look at every player's three best seasons by receiving yards this quarter century, no wideouts, top 3 years, their top three matched Jones' total of 51-41.
Right.
You're right about the downside.
Yeah.
But his upside was higher than theirs. You know,
yeah, I mean, I think
in terms of the yards.
So he was okay. So he's a five-time All-Pro. I mean, do you have to get a guy from that era? Because I do feel like Ja'Marr's numbers will ultimately be better. So he's he's only got one first-team All-Pro.
All and right, Ja'Marr does he have an Offensive Player of the Year that Jefferson has? Didn't Jefferson win that in 22? That looks like the difference between those two, how they've differentiated between them.
Yeah, Ja'Marr has to do more. Yeah. He's got NFL receptions, NFL receiving yards, NFL receiving, like that 2024 year, last year, he led the league.
But he was not Offensive Player of the Year, Jefferson got in 22, him and not Ja'Marr.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, it's fair. I mean, Julio had a better career than I thought. Matt Ryan must not be passing to nobody else there in Atlanta.
And you have to have Megatron. You have to have Randy Moss. Yep. So it's an elite group of receivers. Can't mess with it too much. Tight ends, Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, Tony Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
These practice squad entries are fascinating to me.
Oh, I didn't get down. Is that lower?
Yeah, so it's like they're using honorable mentions at the bottom of these categories, basically, and they're calling them practice squad.
Center, we've got one, Jason Kelce. So you got a set of brothers. On this team, because obviously the tight end you had is his brother. And then the edge rushers, interesting to me, DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, who I remember well because he was a Bears killer with the Vikings. He's there. Myles Garrett, that's current. Julius Peppers, former Carolina Panther, former Bear, former Packer, I want to say two. Yeah, those are the three teams he played for on there as well. And then interior lineman, you know you're going to have Aaron Donald. Calais Campbell. And Chris Jones are your three interior linemen. Nose tackle Vince Wilfork, and your versatile defensive lineman is J.J. Watt.
Is Calais done? Is he retired?
I have no idea.
That man has played forever.
Yep.
He is
Dolphins was last year.
He's still playing, bro. He's been in the league since 2008, and he is still going. He's going to be with the Cardinals this year, back to his original team.
Him and I saw Mercedes Lewis. Looks like he wants to have like a 20th or 21st season this
year. Yeah,
Mercedes. So those got to be Mercedes Lewis, whatever. Yeah, those two got to be among the longest tenured guys in the NFL. Linebackers fun. Ray Lewis. Bobby Wagner. KJ Wright's teammate.
Still
with Seattle. My man, Brian Urlacher. Lavonte David. Buccaneers linebacker from 2012 to now. And then Luke Kuechly. He had a shorter run, did he not?
He did, but it was brilliance in that short. It was like Barry Sanders when he was playing. Short career, but Barry Sanders-esque.
And to your point, their practice squad guy was a really good one, too, and Derek Brooks. Corners, you've Champ Bailey, remember Revis Island, obviously, the former Jets DB. Rondé Barber, Richard Sherman, who we talked a lot about with K.J. Wright last week, played with him on that Seattle defense, part of that Legion of Boom. And then Patrick Peterson as well. Safety's the great Ed Reed. He is a Hall of Famer. Troy Polamalu, Brian Dawkins, and Earl Thomas III, who was also on that Seattle defense. You got a ton of Seattle flavor on there.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody except our boy.
That was the striking thing when KJ came in here. It was like all them the best parts of those teams are still freaking going, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, which tells you they should have more than one ring probably. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look back on. So this is just this all time. All quarter.
No, it's quarter. So since 2000.
Yeah. All quarter. Yeah. I mean, dude, we have been spoiled with greatness.
We've been spoiled since 2000. We have.
I mean, there has been a lot. I mean, these are not just like good players. These are all-time players.
HOFers.
Like you could do. I mean, how many of these guys would make an all-time team? Tom, Mahomes. I mean,
Aaron Donald's gonna make an all-time.
Aaron Donald. Yep. I mean. Randy Moss, probably. Calvin Johnson, probably. T.O. would probably be on that list. Gronk, Kelsey. I mean, all these guys are probably, you know, and I guess that's part of the sport. Like, it's gotten better. It's gotten more prolific, you know, since the turn of the century as well. So it's become that. But, man, it feels like we really are in an era and came up in an era where NFL was at its best and has been at its best. I don't know that we're guaranteed to continue having that, but maybe. I mean, people always question about the future of the sport and where it's going and stuff. Will people keep playing football? But it feels like if you were born, you know, in the 80s or 90s, you came up on some of the best to ever do it.
Burrow can make this list if he wins some Super Bowls, or he can make the next one, but
the production is there.
Right. He's going to have to get some help.
Yeah,
I don't know if Cincy is the organization that's going to be able to do that for him.
Yeah.
You see all the stuff they're doing with their defensive players and not signing them, at least to this point. So we'll see what happens. Of course, the coach is Bill Belichick, who right now, I don't know if he's a good coach anymore. First college job he's embarking on right now with North Carolina. It's crazy to have him on this list as the OG,
essentially. He's not coaching in the NFL.
And the guy's not in the NFL. He's doing it in college. We're all questioning whether or not he's still of sane mind. So there you have it if you're interested. A lot of fun, a lot of throwback names. NFL all-quarter century team over at ESPN.com.
All right, we'll come back. Norton Herd IV is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NBA. Got game 6 tomorrow and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Arty Trying to FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there.
and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. One of the, I don't know if it was funny or telling, but I know you guys played the clip there in that first segment, but with Stephen A. going over all the, statistics and this, that, the other, and you got Brian Windhorst and Mad Dog both there just kind of in stunned silence. It was like Brian Windhorst, after all of it, was like, yeah, but if we could just focus on, you know, the basketball part of this, right, which is where the discussion, like, it's almost like they forgot what they were even talking about, which I think we have. We have forgotten what the initial discussion was in the first place, which is, should the Grizzlies move on from John Morant? I believe that's what the little Chiron said there at the beginning of this. But I appreciated the fact that nobody else really wanted to engage Stephen A. in this mission or whatever it is to, you know, get on the city of Memphis. But, the point you made is also correct in that ESPN is not going to go to this man and say enough's enough, because it's getting their social media engagement. It's getting talked about on June 18th, where I know we'll sit here and say they should be talking about the finals, but like, these finals have no juice. It's not like there's nothing that he could talk about with related to these finals that would come close to the attention that he'll get for this. And so I think that's the calculation that they have made as a show. And also, Stephen A. Smith is the highest paid employee at ESPN. Like, he does not really have to answer to anybody up there at this point. So, I think that was telling, but it's also like, if we continue, it's the sick and twisted cycle, if we continue to engage with it and talk about it and tweet it and respond to it, guess what? They're going to keep doing it. Like, Stephen A. is going to, as long as, if he feels like there's still meat on that bone to get in terms of rage, in terms of whatever the case may be, it will continue for, they'll talk about it tomorrow on First Take if they have to.
I think sometimes some of our best segments, and I'm not saying that was Stephen A.'s best whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I agree with most of what you said there. But some of our better segments have come sometimes when, hey, we're talking about, you know, something that's mainstream, but we take a little part of it because we feel like to you and me it's more interesting. For Stephen A., the sort of the talent that he has, and you can feel how you feel about Windhorse and Mad Dog not getting even the chance to weigh in really right there because mm-hmm. Stephen A. was doing all the talking.
Yep.
But it's Stephen's show.
Yep.
And what he's shown to ESPN is he is a magician. He can take a time that might be slow, a finals that might be slow, even after he was just caught not watching it. He doesn't break the games down, so he's not going to give you any analysis of those, right? Give you a First Take segment that doesn't include any of that, and it's going off the rails in terms of folks tuning in because he's hit on something that he knows is going to resonate.
Yep.
And that's what he did.
Yep.
The segment was about
whether the Grizz, as you said, should move on from Ja Morant. He took it to where he did about free agency, having the Twins there,
right?
The coming off the Bane stuff. He took it to that point because to Stephen A., this was more interesting to him.
Right.
He has the formula. He knows what's going to hit. It was Stephen A. being Stephen A.
And it's a, that's a fair spinoff, right? All right, if they don't move on from Ja, they clearly have to bring in players around him.
And so
that's how you get to that.
And so then ESPN, you know, they start, you know, they benefit from that. You're getting the social media impressions and everything else. And you're loving it because all of a sudden everybody's tuned in, you know, to something that, man, maybe 95% of the country didn't care about when you started it, but 5% in Memphis did, and then the hubbub it created got it everybody in.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the crazy thing. Like, I hear what you're saying because I was looking at Wendy's face, and I heard him on that to the basketball part because he was really trying to remind Stephen, what you got us here for if you're going
to
do that?
And he clearly has nothing to say about Memphis's crime problem. Like,
but let's be real, too. Those guys know what show they're on, First Take.
That's right.
And when Stephen A. asked, come on, you're going to do it.
That's right.
But what it showed you was Stephen A. ain't interested in breaking down basketball games with whether it's Brian Windhorst or Legler or whoever. Fitzy was telling us that stuff yesterday.
You're right.
He's going to find something else. He's going to find another A, like the A in his name, that's going to have everybody talking about it, right?
You're right.
From his show.
Exactly. Because, like, to me, it's like...
There's a little bit of, you know,
it's kind of
skill
nuts.
To it, even though it's nuts, like, and we hate it, and he'll get unprofessional with it at times.
This is a talent. This is
unbelievable. Clearly a talent. Yes.
Yeah. Like his ability to, and that's what Fitz was also saying, is like he knows how to get clicks. He knows how to do it. Like it's, and that's why he's paid $25 million a year, because he gets $25 million worth of engagement. Right, every single year.
Is that all of his jobs together, or is that ESPN?
It's just ESPN. I don't. Dang, the Sirius is going to be separate of that.
Good Lord!
And you know he ain't working for Sirius for cheap, so he's probably getting at least $5 million from them to do that show every single day.
Yeah, I missed that. You got 25 from ESPN. That is crazy.
Yeah, because you know they incorporate him on. I mean, they do work the ish out of him. Mm. I mean, he's on all, and that's what Fitz was saying too. It was just interesting to get that kind of curtain peeled back. Like, but that man is on all the time. You know, he does. The First Take, he does guest spots, he does NBA shows, he does social media segments, you know, Ask Stephen A. or whatever it is, you know, like he is on all the damn time. And so they definitely get their $25 million worth from him. But yes, it's like he knows how to, he's like a nurse who finds the vein, you know, when she's about to start drawing blood, you know, and he seems like, regardless of what it is, like he has found. You know, I don't think he intended on. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he did intend on talking about. You know, but I don't think he expected the reaction about that throwaway line.
No, I don't think he did either. And I think that's part of why he was so still pumped up yesterday with the 6:58 p.m. tweet. Now we talked about that. I don't know if we got a chance to talk about it with you, but the tone of that and how it was. Come on, Ja, I got some more if you want to. Was completely different than how he came back this morning after getting schooled on. I think from the mayor, from the commerce president, after getting schooled on, okay, we've got a crime problem, but we're working on it, and things are getting better. He did come back with a different level of education on Memphis that next. But look, go look at the tone of that tweet at 6:58.
Yep.
Basically saying, come on, Ja.
Yep.
I got some more if you want to. You going to really do this with me?
It was almost like blackmail.
Yeah.
You know, in a way.
But, and then where Jeff was right, though, is that, look, man, if you got more, you know, if you're a journalist, right? It was either said or it wasn't. You don't hide it. You don't use it as leverage.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
That's where I said with Jeff, he's no longer in that game of, you know, necessarily having a, you know, yes, he's still
that's
got some journalistic integrity, but that is not his priority.
That's right.
It is not as Jeff said, a journalistic enterprise. It is an enterprise seeking ratings.
That's right.
And he can use his journalistic background to bring some credibility to what he's saying. I talked to Jimmy Butler, and it does. It adds more credibility to a ratings-driven program.
Yep.
And that's why we're here.
That is
exactly. But he was going at Ja. He was still feeling a certain kind of way about Ja coming at his show.
Yes.
At 6:58 last night.
Right. Which, to me, that's the part of it that was
That's the part that was
BS.
Unprofessional.
Yes.
That was very unprofessional.
Because, like, what was Ja supposed to do? Just take it? Like he's the guy that
Ja was standing up for his city, man.
Exactly. What's he supposed to do, man?
But he did say in standing up for his city, come on, your show should be talking about the finals. And for Stephen A., it's his show. He took it personal.
You can't tell me what I'm supposed to
be
talking about.
And that's why he came back with that same sort of energy.
That's right.
I thought his unprofessional return of that energy by him, an energy that was particularly different.
That's right.
This morning.
That's right. And exactly. Like he I wouldn't say he walked it back.
No, he stood to his crime.
But he definitely like he softened.
But the tone was way different.
It almost was like the mayor talked to him.
I mean, he did. I mean, he had the stats. I'm assuming whether he got them from the mayor or the commerce press, he got them stats from somebody in Memphis, it felt like. But what we know about Stephen A., Fitzy just told us, he's too spread thin,
no doubt,
on all the shows to go digging for it and looking for it himself,
no doubt,
after having that take yesterday. So now he comes back with what Memphis sent him.
That's right.
And he can sound
a little bit
more educated,
no doubt,
have the proper tone. But back to the thing, John, for him, still be right that the crime issue in Memphis, at least according to one player he's talked to, he'll tell you it's everybody, dissuades, as he said, free agents from coming.
Now, did you decipher the Ja tweet from 1 a.m. this morning?
No, and I was up. Well, I was up a little after he sent it. Weird night for me.
I assume he was not talking
about 2 a.m. I had no idea what he's talking about. What's the war? Go ahead and read it for the
people
we haven't
discussed. He's not talking about, he tweets, don't cry for me when the war is over. Now, I assume he's not talking about Israel-Iran. I assume that's not the war he's participating in. But I wonder.
Is it the war with Stephen A.? Is it the war here at home?
He's fighting some kind of battle, you know, internally. It almost feels like.
That's why I spent a good deal of time trying to figure out what the war is last night.
Right. Yeah, he's up. He's contemplating a life.
That was a 1:15 a.m. tweet.
Yeah, 1 a.m. tweet, man. And so it's like, Ja, what's up, man?
But Ja did not respond yet to the heated 6:58 p.m.
That's right.
Stephen A. And I was wondering if we were going to get that today. We have not thus far.
That's right.
The only response we've seen, and it wasn't quote tweeted from the Stephen A. stuff, was this thing about the war.
Exactly. I think Ja should feel good about letting that dog lie. Like, he said his piece. He said that, you know.
I agree.
You know, he's going to be in the 901. You know, he made his point about the city and team, talking about that during the finals. Like, there's nothing left for Ja to gain from a back and forth because he's got the platform every day. He's got he's better at it, unfortunately, than Ja. So I think, like, let's let this dog lie. But, you know, if he's compelled, he should say something. But I kind of feel like, you know, Stephen A's a court jester. Let him say what he wants to say.
He'll just twist it back up and keep this thing going.
That's right. That's exactly right. Or what I would like, get on there with that man. Like, get on First Take with his ass. Now, that would be good theater.
Well, you're playing his game then, aren't you?
Who was it that did that?
You're letting him benefit the ratings.
You remember way back when, bro, was it Richard Sherman that went on there? And because Skip Bayless that kept trashing him. And he went on there with Skip. And he just it was embarrassing.
Video clips from that.
Yeah. I don't know if Ja would come with like Richard Sherman, but remember he said, I'm better at life than you. That's what Richard Sherman told Skip Bayless. Ja got to get on there and say, I'm better at life than you. So you can keep talking about Memphis and you can keep talking about crime, but I'm better at life than you. That would be unbelievable. Unbelievable television.
Stephen A. pretty good.
But yeah, Stephen A. would have like
life, I'm saying.
No, he is. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, he and Ja are basically making the same amount a year.
And my guy was a columnist. I mean, with all due respect, like, he came from a newspaper and turned it into this.
Right.
You know, Ja was trained to go by T. Morant.
He was.
From the get-go.
Ja's making 36.7. So, you know, I mean, it's comparable.
Stephen A. might as longer...
I get
has
to play.
A, has longer career potentially.
No question.
Making this kind of money.
Ooh, here's too much material. Too much material. I would don't do it, Ja. Don't go on there. Because Stephen A. could say something like, your next year could be your last in the NBA, the way you play. Like, I'm just saying that's.
What was the part that Stephen A. meant when he said, or even more details?
Who knows, man?
What is he withholding?
I know. It's like, if you have something, you should say something. Like if you're going to go there, right? Like, don't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.